Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am indeed Tom Appel. Thank you for joining us today. When you get a chance, when you have a moment, do me a favor, check us out at consumerguide.com. That's consumerguide.com. While you're there, check out our 2025 Best Buy picks. The list is super handy if you're looking for a new car or truck. And you can listen to back episodes of the podcast right there on our homepage, though you should subscribe. Right, Jill?
Yes.
Folks should subscribe.
100% that.
All right. That voice is Jill Simonello, Managing Editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, North American Car of the Year juror, and a popular freelancer.
Oh, I like that. I'm popular.
Popular?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm just trying different things.
Okay.
Popular. Irritating?
No, I'm not irritating.
No, okay. So popular is better.
Popular is better.
Okay. So I tried two words there. You like one better than the other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Test case or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I want to talk about something totally off topic but worth talking about.
Can I make an announcement before you go off topic?
Do.
Okay. I just wanted to let people know that I'm going to be returning back to the Rebel Rally next year.
In a different form.
In a different form. I am not going to be part of the Brute Squad next year. I am joining a new team. My partner from last year decided she wanted to take a break. And so I was asked to join a new team as the navigator. And it's team number 201. And it is Team Soul Seekers.
Now, not Brute Squad.
No.
But can you use the name of a different men's deodorant fragrance? like Old Spice?
Maybe there could be a commercial like on a horse holding something in our hand. I don't know.
All right, so you're going like freelancing now.
Yeah. So I know Lola, who is going to be my new partner, and we've run with her in the dunes previously, and so I know her. I know how she operates, and she's really cool. She's a flight attendant for American, and just very even keel, really nice. And I feel like we're going to partner up really well together because we both have the same philosophy about what is success in the Rebel Rally.
And that is to kill everyone.
No, it's to not die.
Oh.
And to have
so
a good
kind
day.
Kind of the opposite.
Yeah. Right. And to have good days. And so, I'm really looking forward to partnering up with her. We're going to be in a 2007 Honda Ridgeline, uh-huh. So older vehicle.
But proven. It's been through
the rally before.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because she was very concerned about how I would feel competing in a 2007 vehicle. And she's like, I'll send you my Carfax so that you can see that I've taken care of it. And I was like, Lola, I'm like, the fact that you would do that gives me all the confidence in the world.
No, that should do well. Also, that V6,
yeah.
Honey.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
A honey.
Well, and she knows her truck really well. I mean, the problem that we ran into the past couple of years is we were driving vehicles that we'd never driven before. And the fact that she's the driver of her own vehicle, I think, is going to be a huge point in her favor. So
cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck with that.
Yeah. So as we get closer, I'll have more information, but you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Soul Seekers, team number 201.
There you go. All right, I got to go off topic for a moment.
Okay, no.
I've got
no
news. I've got big news.
You've got news.
But I've got a little thing here real quick. If you know somebody going through chemotherapy.
Yes.
Got a thing for you.
Okay.
It's called lemonsoflove.org,
mm-hmm.
lemonsoflove.org.
Okay.
And what this organization does, among other things, is puts together care packages for people enduring chemo.
Okay.
So it's filled with things to deal with, like the horrible taste in your mouth, dehydration, dry skin, all sorts of really cool, carefully curated stuff. You can just go there, buy a package, and have it sent off. It's really cool. So I sent one to a friend,
mm-hmm.
and she reports back that it's pretty cool.
And that's lemon as in the fruit lemon?
Yes, it's lemons of love. And the wordplay there is that like when life hands you lemons,
mm-hmm.
that's sort of the thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So, and they're headquartered just down the street from here.
Okay.
So really cool, but I did that, and I guess it turned out well.
Very good.
So cool thing. All right, back to car stuff.
Okay.
Some news. Oh, you know what? Let me get something off my chest here. It's not always a Tom thing. So I'm driving the Lincoln Corsair.
Okay.
Lincoln's smallest crossover.
I think it is always a Tom thing,
no.
But I'm just going to put that
out
there.
No. I've had all these problems with Bluetooth connectivity.
In Toyotas.
Lots of vehicles.
Okay.
A lot of BMW most recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'm driving this Lincoln right now,
mm-hmm.
a Ford product.
Mm-hmm.
Not one problem all week.
as soon as you get into your car, your Bluetooth's going to disconnect.
It's worked really well. Also, just this about the Lincoln. Lincoln's available with the Revel audio system.
Yep.
Hokey schmokels.
Yeah. No, it's a good system.
You want your Bluetooth to be working.
Yeah.
For that. All right. We've been talking Cybertruck.
Yeah. Yeah, we
have. Cybertruck, the Tesla Cybertruck.
And the fact that Tesla won't take their Cybertrucks back.
What the heck? That's bad PR.
That's bad juju is what that is. It's very bad juju.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, the Cybertruck, which has rapidly declining resale value, and people are turning them in because they feel silly now for owning them, I suppose.
Well, and the panels keep falling off.
Well, that's bad.
Yeah.
They're bad. But people do make fun of you when you drive around in one, apparently.
I was on a program, and my drive partner, every Cybertruck we passed, he kept going, thumbs down. He would give them a thumbs down.
Well, that's unnecessary.
He's like, I figure that's better than flipping them off.
It is, probably.
I'm like, man, chill.
I can't help but believe that there isn't some connection between Cybertruck owners and concealed carry. I'm just saying, I don't want to flip one off.
I
don't want to anyway.
No, it's not polite. And, you know, I actually just saw, I didn't read the whole article, but I saw an excerpt from something where it said the Tesla Cybertruck owner had to take self-defense classes to protect himself because he's driving this truck.
Yeah, I saw that article. That was a little clickbaity.
Well, probably, which is why I did not actually click through, but I saw the headline.
Yeah, I didn't go past the headline on that.
But that's not the story you wanted to talk about, actually.
No. Interesting Cybertruck news here, but it does speak to their desperation.
Okay.
So these vehicles started, there was like a $140,000 launch edition, and mm-hmm. the Cyber Beast was $110,000 mm-hmm. or $120,000, and the cheapest you could do was like the dual mode or something.
Yeah, it was like $100,000.
Something about $100,000. Yeah. Well, if you want a Cybertruck for some reason still, the long range, that's what it's called, the long range, just one motor, rear drive, starts at $72,000.
Because the off-road prowess of this vehicle could not get any worse.
Yeah.
Let's go rear-wheel drive only. That's a far cry from the $40,000 they said it would be.
This is going to further kill the resale value.
Yeah.
Of the other vehicles. And as you pointed out off air, this car was supposed to be $40,000.
Yeah.
And the cheapest version is still just $72,000. Yeah. Also, the 500 miles of range didn't happen.
No.
The supplemental battery, which was going to fit into the bed.
Range extender, right?
The range extender battery, $16,000 with a $2,000 mm-hmm. non-refundable deposit, seems to have been canceled. It's not on the website anymore. Don't know what happened to everyone's $2,000. But anyway, nice things. Cocoa Mats, our friends at Cocoa Mats, they sent my wife mats for her Subaru.
Ah, okay.
They're gorgeous. So they had her pick out mats, and she went with a red and black check.
Okay.
These are really high quality, heavy, durable looking, but they're handcrafted.
Right.
They look great in the car. These are fabulous, and they were every bit as nice as you would expect them to be. So if you're thinking about it, check out Cocoa Mats because those are sweet.
Yeah. And so we talked to the founder of Cocoa Mats a few episodes ago. So I think it's probably been about a month now. But it was a really interesting story and how they got started. And, you know, the products online look really cool. So I'm glad you got some.
The product line's got a nice heritage to it. It's privately owned. It's family owned. It's cool. It's the kind of business you want to do business with.
Okay.
And then ultimately the product's super sweet. Speaking of products, haven't done anything with this yet. The folks at Leather Honey sent us a leather conditioning kit. We don't have between us a vehicle with a full leather interior, but my wife and daughter have saddles.
Okay.
So I will report back on this. Thank you, Leather Honey folks. And we will talk about those at a later date.
Yes.
Interesting piece of news. And you've driven these vehicles. But the Chevy Silverado EV.
Yes.
And the GMC Sierra EV exist. But they're kind of in slow-mo right now. They haven't opened the factory.
Mm-hmm.
So a factory in Orion Township, Michigan, was supposed to open last year for full production of these vehicles, but the volume isn't there yet.
Okay.
So General Motors has been cranking these vehicles out at relatively low volume.
Right.
Last year, just 1,700 Sierra EVs were built, but they're expensive.
Yeah.
They were just top trim level Denalis.
Yeah.
95 or like $105,000.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So new trim level. Yes. Now available.
Two new trim levels.
Go ahead.
So you have the base elevation and then the AT4, which is an off-road kind of capable version. So they've got three trims. They've got three different battery packs. So they've got a standard extended, and then the max range.
The max range is crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's 440 miles.
Yeah.
So that's crazy talk, and that's awesome. It's a 205 kilowatt hour battery.
Mm-hmm.
There's part of your price.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of battery.
Yeah. And I want to say the base elevation is available with standard and extended, and then you have the AT4 is available with extended and max, and
The
Denali actually has all three battery packs available.
They need to sort of simplify stuff, or they're keeping it low volume,
mm-hmm.
so that's what they're doing. Interesting thing there, too, all the stuff's being made right now at what they call Factory Zero in Hamtramck. It's the old Hamtramck factory in Detroit, where they build the Sierra EV, the Silverado EV, the Cadillac Escalade IQ, and the Hummer pickup and crossover, and am I missing something? Oh, the Cadillac, the crazy luxury Cadillac, the Celestiq.
I never know how to say that. Is it Celestiq, Celestiq? I don't know.
I think it's always the
Celestiq,
the less
bougie,
obnoxious.
Pronunciation.
Yeah, I think it's Celestiq.
Right.
Although I want to say Celestiq.
Celestiq.
Like the lyric, I want to say lyric.
Lyric.
Actually, I don't want to say that.
I don't know. That sounds kind of fun that way. I have to tell you, because I have to get some running talk in somewhere.
Oh.
I did a 10-mile race yesterday, and on my running route, I passed a Silverado EV RST. I've never seen one of those in the wild.
The Silverado and the Sierra look good.
Yeah. Well,
the EVs.
What they've done that I think is really interesting is, you know, you were mentioning offline, the Ford F-150 essentially is an electric version of the Ford F-150.
Right.
But these are dedicated different vehicles, and they have some really interesting features like that mid-gate that opens. So you can essentially fold down the rear seats.
I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, and I will say, I have driven it, I have played around with it, and I did...
You've used the mid-gate?
I've lowered the mid-gate, and it's... Once you get the hang of it, it's easy, but until you get the hang of it, there's a lot of comedies of errors going on. I feel like I have a video of me trying to figure it out. It's kind of funny.
Well, I remember trying to do it in the Chevrolet Avalanche, and then later the Cadillac EXT, which were both pickup trucks that had a midgate.
Yeah.
And the midgate, for people who don't know, we're talking about vehicles relatively small beds.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5-foot beds, 4-foot beds. And you can extend the bed into the cab of the vehicle, basically consuming the second row of seating area by removing the panel, pushing the seat backs down, and then all of a sudden you have like an 8-foot bed.
Yeah, I think it's like 10 feet.
Is it?
It's
so
pretty impressive.
Super useful.
Yeah.
But it's a little work to get that done, and there's no easy way to make that power.
No.
Which would be great.
It would be, but it would probably then boost the vehicle from $100,000 to $150,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after the break, we're going to be talking a little bit about two-seat Pontiacs. Personal friend, but we've never talked to him on air, Gary Witzenberg.
Yes.
Legendary auto journalist, General Motors engineer, Navy officer. The guy's got a great history.
Yeah.
But he was involved in writing about the Pontiac Fiero. People might remember that vehicle, plastic two-seater with a mid-engine design, crazy. And then later, the Pontiac Solstice.
Yes.
So we'll be talking to Gary in a moment. There's one more thing I want to talk about real quick.
Okay.
Jeff Bezos.
Oh, yes.
You know this guy.
I not personally, thank goodness, but I do know of Jeff Bezos.
Well, he can write big checks.
Yes.
And he's written a couple of pretty big ones, not big for him.
No.
But he has started a car company. Called Slate Auto.
Yeah, I did hear this.
And this news is like surprising everybody.
Yeah.
But Slate is going to be building $25,000 two-seat pickups, electric pickups. And if you look at one, if you're an old guy like me, you appreciate that it looks like an old Jeep Comanche.
Okay.
Which was a great-looking pickup from the 80s, back when Jeep still did pickups like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to do this. He's got some rich investors helping him out. And the plan is to build these very, very basic $25,000 pickups. I assume they're just rear drive.
Okay.
And then you customize them.
Hmm.
But their slogan is, we built it, you make it. Now, the change in tense there makes me really nervous as an editor, but that's that. But production, do you know where they're going to build these things?
Did you say Indiana?
Your mom's house.
They're building them at my mom's house.
Yeah, her yard.
Yes, that makes total sense. She has a big yard.
Indianapolis.
Yes.
So the company's headquartered in Michigan, manufacturing's in Indianapolis, and they have a design studio in California. Because you have to have a design studio in California.
Everybody has to have a design studio in California.
Yeah.
So did they say whether this is going to be compact or midsize, full-size?
No word. I thought I saw the word small once, but it looks very small.
Okay.
Like it looks Ford Maverick small.
Yeah. Okay, so compact. So what I think is going to be interesting about this from a truck guy's perspective is you get a lot of pushback about vehicles that are too bougie and have too many options and features. So even though this is electric, and truck guys don't really like electric, but even though this is electric, it seems like this has the potential to give people the opportunity to leave it as basic as they want it or build it up as much as they want it.
I think there could be a market for that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the reason I like the Nissan Frontier, which might be the lowest tech of the midsize crossover, or pickup trucks. But it's simple. It's the most affordable.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly roomy and competent. I like it because it's the least complicated.
Yeah. So my question is, will the electric pickup truck have hand crank windows?
Nah. I think no, just because an option you would want would be electric, and then you have to build in design for both.
I don't know. Truck guys often want the hand crank.
Do they?
They do.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that later.
All right, they want as basic, low-tech, as possible.
Yeah, hand crank windows.
Yeah.
I think you almost don't want to do that for a bunch of reasons.
Probably not.
One last thing. I saw something cool, a thing that I forgot existed.
Oh?
A Cop Blazer EV. So the Chevrolet Blazer EV, their midsize crossover, available in EV form, is available to the police departments, and I saw one. And it was just sitting outside a company that I think applies the decals, so I don't know what city this is going to. But these are kind of cool trucks, and it's on the base steel wheels, which is crazy, but it's 500 horsepower. Like, you probably don't want to try to run away from this thing.
No. So how did you know it was a cop car if it didn't have any of the decals?
It's black and white. So it's got the black and white cop, but it doesn't have the door stickers yet.
Okay.
The We Serve and Protect.
Okay.
And the Where Are the Donuts sticker. Yeah. It doesn't have any of those things.
Right.
Yeah. It could be Palatine. I saw it in an office complex in Palatine.
Okay.
And I think this place just applies the final stickers and stuff.
Interesting. We'll have to see if I can find anybody at GM who can talk about this.
I would love to talk about these.
Yeah. And if anybody at GM is listening and can talk about this, you can reach out to us and we would love to have you on the show.
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk to Gary Witzenberg.
Okay.
About the Pontiac Fiero and the Pontiac Solstice.
Awesome.
Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She is Jill. Did we cover how nice a day it is?
It was surprisingly nice outside.
When you think Chicago and Chicago weather, there's a lot of reasons why you might not want to live here. Today's one of those days that kind of makes up for everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny because I walked outside and I had a jacket on and I was like, oh, I really didn't need this jacket.
I need to go home and open windows.
Well,
it's that kind of nice.
It is. And thankfully, I mean, I'm going to be running up and down my stairs as soon as I get home because I have to move some stuff over to my new apartment.
I never want to move again.
Yeah.
The next time I move, I want it to be my family moving me and I don't know what's going on.
Well, we are going to have packers.
I do plan to be a burden to my daughter.
We are
going to
have packers and movers, but like I don't like people touching my clothes. So like I want to move all my clothes over.
Even when you're not wearing them?
Even when I'm not wearing them, I don't want people to touch my clothes.
I'm not really that finicky.
I am a little bit finicky.
If I'm wearing the clothes, I'm pretty
guarded about
things.
My shoes they can touch. I'm totally cool with them touching my shoes, just not my clothes.
That's actually kind of weird.
I'm weird. I'm fine with that. It's totally fine. It's totally fine with that.
All right. Before the break, we talked a little bit about the Pontiac Fiero.
Yes.
One of the most interesting vehicles in relatively recent modern era General Motors history. On the phone with us is Gary Witzenberg. Gary is an independent auto writer with a long and interesting history. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Just a little bit of issue here. Long story, but I was trying to fix something and lost my internet and I can't get it back.
So, oh, no.
That's a little frustrating.
That's the story
Luckily,
of our day.
Doing this by, yeah. But we don't need to, we can talk Fiero without me being online, I guess.
Probably because you're an expert on the subject. We should talk a little bit about your history, Gary, because you, among other things, you're an auto writer, you were a Navy officer, and you worked at General Motors for a long time as an engineer. So you have a lot of insight here into this product and really into General Motors. Tell us a little bit about your history.
Well, I actually worked at GM for a couple of different times. Right out of college, I went to work for Chevrolet Engineering, and then I was at Corporate Engineering, and then I was off at the Navy for a while, and then I was back at Corporate Engineering. But anyway, long term, I left to become an automotive writer, and over about a 14-year period, I became, I think I can safely say, very widely published, writing for, back, that was before internet, back, you know, major magazines, everybody from Playboy to Better Homes and Gardens, and all the car books, and the magazines you used to get in the airplanes, you know, in the back of the seat. In front
the
of
good
you.
Magazines.
And they were at the time, yeah. And then I was back, I set up a West Coast PR office for Buick Division, so I went back to GM. And then I was back doing product motorsports and technology PR at Buick back in Flint before they moved downtown. And then I got, I'm trying to make this real quick, but it's a long history. Then I went back to the engineering side with the electric vehicle program. And that was 1991 when they were putting that program together. And I was vehicle test and development manager for that electric vehicle program all through the 90s. And then I took an early retirement in 2002 to go back to writing. So and then reestablished that and been writing for, you know, a lot of different outlets ever since. Hopefully that's short enough.
It's short enough, but it gets to the point. And you write a lot for Collectible Automobile Magazine, too, for which you have won awards. So thank you for that.
Yeah, they like my work, and I guess the readers do, too, as well. I also write for Haggerty.com. They, they do a lot of, I've been doing a lot of historical and fun pieces for them, including on these two cars that we want to talk about, the two Pontiacs, two attempts at two-seaters, the Fiero 1984 and then the Solstice in 2006.
Yeah, recently you wrote stories for both magazines, Collectible Automobile Magazine, the current issue, I believe, you wrote about the Fiero, and then going back a few months, you wrote for Haggerty about the sadly forgotten Pontiac Solstice, which the weather is right now that I'm starting to see them on the road, like right now. That and its cousin, the Saturn Sky. You see those around here too, but they're all in pristine condition because everyone put one in a plastic bag and saved it in the garage.
Well, as we speak, I have one in my garage. I bought one of the first ones built way back in 2006 when they were first starting to build them, and have kept it ever since.
So let's talk a little.
I'm about to break that one out and go drive it again a little bit.
Let's talk a little Fiero, because I was there. I was hardcore car guy in the 80s, and I was reading about cars and writing, not writing about cars, but trying to drive cars. And one of the most interesting things I remember about the Fiero was it's kind of strangely bi-directional opening salvo. Like, it was going to be a sports car, but it was also pitched, at least to Pontiac management, as I recall, as like an economy commuter. What was the deal with that?
Well, it was pitched by Pontiac to the corporate overlords, the people who, you know, who handed out budget money to do new vehicles or didn't. Pontiac pitched it as a very fuel-efficient commuter car that would have two seats and kind of sporty styling. But GM back, we're talking right late 1970s, early 80s, GM badly needed more fuel-efficient vehicles at the time to meet CAFE requirements, corporate average fuel economy requirements, that were getting tougher pretty much every year at the time. So they finally got the green light to go ahead and do this this kind of sporty-looking little two-seat fuel-efficient commuter car called Fiero. And it very quickly, it came out in 84, as you know, and it over the next few years, it evolved into a really nice sports car with a GT version and a V6 engine available. And it just, unfortunately, in its first year, 84, it sold very, very well, much higher than expectations, but it also had some quality issues that really killed its reputation. So sales went downward from that point. As the car got better, the sales kept going down. And the 88 model was the best by far for a number of reasons. They did a redo on the chassis and a few other things, and that's the year it got canceled was the year it got to be the best ever.
Yeah, I remember reading about that too, and some serious money was put into the suspension. It got it already had the V6 by that year, but and wasn't there some talk too at the end about sticking the quad 4, the 16-valve Oldsmobile engine into that vehicle?
There might have been. I don't recall. I wouldn't be surprised, because the base engine was, I think they called it, even then back then, an Ecotec 4. And it was just a pretty mild, basically, commuter car economy car engine that was the base mounted transversely behind the cockpit. But when you put the V6 in it, that was that made it a real pretty seriously performing sports car. And people raced it and won a lot of races with it. And it did very well, except for the fact that it never got over that reputation for some quality issues in its first year. And like pretty much all GM two-seater attempts through the years, which I've written about all of them, except Corvette, it died after 4 or 5 years because of that. It was not profitable. The build process was unique, and it turned out to be fairly expensive, if you're aware of that.
Oh, I don't recall the build process specifically. Do share.
Yeah. It was a steel space frame with the plastic body panels just bolted on. And one reason for that was you could change the panels quite easily. You could change the styling, or if you had one damaged in a small accident, you could just, you know, pull off the old one, put on the new one. But all of the structure was in a steel space frame. And they did some minivans that way, too. They thought that was the way of the future at GM back in those days. But it turned out to be, it was a dedicated plant doing only Fiero, and as the sales went down, the cost of building it went up.
Oh.
And so they finally had to say, you know, this is, yeah, we love this car. It's great. It looks good. It's fun. People like it. And it's, by the way, the quality problems have all been fixed, but we got to cancel it because it's a loser.
I've got two questions about the manufacturing of that vehicle, and they're sort of legendary things.
Yeah.
But my first question is not the easy one, but I think the obvious one. Why did you guys choose, or why did Pontiac choose to go with a mid-engine car for something that more or less needed to be affordable to build?
It had to do, well, don't say you guys, because I was not.
You're not going to take any of the blame for that?
My bad, Gary.
I was writing about it from the outside at the time. I was not on the inside. But, you know, they originally looked at, if you remember the Ford EXP and the Lincoln LN7, those were little two-seaters that were built off, I think, an Escort front drive platform.
Yeah.
And they just didn't look right. If you want to do a sporty car, and by the way, the people at Pontiac who sold this to the corporation as an economy car had in mind that it would become a quite nice sports car. So they wanted it to look like a sports car.
Okay.
And it was very convenient and relatively easy to do from an engineering standpoint to take what was then the X car, the new compact, four-cylinder front drive.
Mm-hmm.
There was a V6 model as well of the GM X cars that came out in 1980.
Citation.
You could take that whole powertrain and suspension in the front of the X car, turn it around, reverse it 180 degrees, and put it in the back of a small car and make a mid-engine car.
That was actually my question, Gary, because I remember that story.
Yeah. Yeah. So they didn't have to invent a new engine or a new transaxle or even suspension. They had the whole X car front end behind the cockpit of the Fiero.
And then the front end
worked very well. And they even used the T car, which was the little subcompact,
the Chevette
front suspension, which worked well in the Fiero. I forget what was the name of that car.
The Chevette and the Pontiac T1000.
The Chevette, right? Yeah. They used the Chevette front suspension in that. And then over the years, and one interesting story about that, which I think is interesting. You know, as I said, when I came back to GM after 4 years of doing Buick PR, and I went back to engineering as a manager in the electric vehicle program, that GM electric vehicle came out with the world's first electrohydraulic power steering.
Oh.
Well, that was developed for the Fiero. That was going to be in the 88 Fiero. And why is that? Because the hydraulic power steering required a lot of hydraulic lines that would go from the engine to the steering.
Yeah.
The engine was in back, the steering's in front, obviously, and it was a very difficult packaging challenge to try to put power steering in a Fiero. So as the GT version came out and the front tires got larger, the steering got quite hard and stiff. They said, we need power steering. So they worked with Delco to develop an electrically driven hydraulic power steering. In other words, the hydraulics are up in front. You didn't have to bring them from the back, from the engine. But it was the pump was electric. And before, it was going to be available in the 88 Fiero, and it didn't quite make starter production. I actually drove one at an event one time, an 88 Fiero with that system, and it was quite nice. but it didn't make start of production, and then the car got canceled. So years later, that was 88, and the EV1 came out 97. So almost a decade later, they finally did electrohydraulic power steering in the EV1.
Interesting.
Based on what they had done back in 88 for the Fiero.
So the system that ended up in the Fiero at launch was just a conventional hydraulic power steering system. It did, in fact, have the hoses running back and forth?
No, it was, again, it was, the steering itself was hydraulic. In other words, there was a hydraulic pump that developed pressure that moved the wheels. But the power came, instead of a pump on the engine, the power came from an electric motor.
Gotcha.
To pressurize that hydraulic fluid. So everything was up front. You didn't have to run lines from the engine in back of the Fiero. But it also happened to be a very energy-efficient way to do it, which is why the EV1 ended up using of much further development of that same system, because it was energy-efficient.
We should probably spend an episode talking about the EV1 someday, too. Yeah, fascinating
vehicle.
Yeah,
we could. And by the way, as we all know, the hydraulics went over and power steering became all electric.
Right. Yeah, which
but
is
that,
what,
that was a world first, and it could have made it in 88, but it didn't get on the road till 97 with the EV1.
And I don't know how many people agree with me on this, but you might, Gary, that electric power steering kind of sucks. Like, and depending on the vehicle it's in, most of the feel is gone. And I don't think consumers are looking for that feel in a lot of vehicles, but I've driven some vehicles that should have been sportier, and the feel is gone now.
Well, as a former racer and often aggressive driver myself, I'm really into steering feel. And I would say that it isn't... That's a blanket statement that isn't always true.
Okay.
When you lost the hydraulics, you did lose some feel and feedback, but it's much more true in some brands at some companies than others. And most famously, BMW has never had steering feel back, I don't think, since the driver's car. Remember the ultimate driver's car?
Mm-hmm.
And when they went to EPS, electric power steering, they lost most of that, and I don't think they've ever regained it. But I've driven a lot of cars, and in fact, many of them GM cars, and I don't say that because I used to work there, but they've done a very good job with EPS in giving it a pretty decent amount of feel and feedback in the cars, performance-oriented cars, like a Cadillac, ATS or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a sports car, a Corvette. I don't think you'd notice. You wouldn't miss the hydraulics because they've done such a good job developing through the years the electric steering to make it really feel pretty good.
Well, speaking of good steering feel, you just recently wrote about the Solstice, too, which would be Pontiac's second attempt to build a two-seater that might catch on with the public. Tell us about the Solstice. And first of all, that was a front-engine vehicle. They decided to do away with the rear-engine part of that. But it was still kind of a risk, right?
Yeah, history on that. Pontiac, again, they wanted a two-seater. They didn't want to compete directly with Corvette, so they wanted something that would be a more youthful, much more affordable, sporty car. Good-looking, fun-driving, but not Corvette kind of price range. And the story behind that, again, I'll try to make a long story short, but when Bob Lutz came to GM in 1991, and he turned around the whole product line, not single-handedly, but he affected that through the people who were doing it in the 1990s. He had wanted to do, 2000s. He came there in 2001. He had wanted to do a small, affordable, youthful sports car everywhere he had been. He began at GM Europe, right out of school and Marine service, and then he moved to BMW, and then he was at Ford of Europe, and then he was at Chrysler. He'd always wanted to do a car like that. And they did concept cars and show cars, and they never got approval to do it. And finally, after he took the job to come in under Rick Wagner at GM, the CEO at the time, he was 69 years old at the time, you may recall, and GM's retirement age was 65. But Rick got him to come back on board in charge of all product, and he was able to get the two-seater he had dreamed of his whole career done. And he was basically, Rick authorized him to look at every car that was in the studios at the time. And again, 2001 time frame. And you tell us if it's good, if it's not, we'll cancel it. If it's just needs some work, we'll delay it and fix it. And he had a meeting with Wayne Cherry, who was the head of GM Design at the time, out at Pebble Beach in August. That was actually a month before he came on board. September 1st of that year. And he brought up this idea, and Wayne said, you know, let's do a concept. And again, long story short, they did a concept. Mark Royce, who is now president, as you know, was in charge of structures at the time. And they did a prototype concept vehicle by taking a Cavalier and making it into a little sports car body and a rear drive. Made it, you know, Cavalier's front drive, but they made a rear drive little sports car prototype and unveiled it at the Detroit show. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was, yeah, that would have been in January 2002, because they built the thing in about 4 months from the time he and Cherry agreed to do it, or he talked Cherry into doing it. And Mark Royce says, I'll do the structure, so it won't be just a roll-around car. You'll actually be able to drive it into the show. And it created a huge impression, very positive impression at the Detroit show when they unveiled it, January 2002. And then it took a while, again, because GM is always tight with their money and very, very nervous about doing new two-seaters, but finally got approval to build the thing, and it came out in 2006. Excellent. You probably have some other questions, but that's a short version of how Lutz got that car done. And it was and is a pretty nice car. And again, I speak as one who owns one. But probably from a standpoint of really how good is it throughout, the Miata it competed with was probably a better car in most ways. But the Solstice, in my opinion, is a better-looking car than the Miata of that era.
I can see that.
And it was a better handling car. You could go around corners faster. And to me, a sports car is all about styling and handling. So it was pretty much a success in terms of meeting its objectives. It had a wonky top that folded down into a well behind the seats that used up what little...
I forgot about that. Yeah, that was tricky.
Storage room there was in there.
Yeah.
And the interior was no great shakes. Design-wise, okay, but not very practical, not much storage space.
The thing I remember about the interior was that if you were even reasonably tall, you looked over the steering wheel at the instrument panel. It was a very strange arrangement. I was extremely crowded in that vehicle.
Not a problem I had.
I can't corroborate that at all. I'm 6 feet tall. I get in the vehicle, and it's fine. So I haven't noticed that issue, but it fits me pretty well.
So,
and I really enjoy driving it. Even though it's not real powerful with the four-cylinder and the base engine, it's got enough power to be a lot of fun, especially with a manual.
Definitely. Well, so the Solstice was at the beginning of my career for automotive journalism. That like came out really, really right after I started writing about cars. And so I definitely have like some good memories of that. So just kind of like... Two questions. So first off, how long did that vehicle have a run? I feel like it was only until 2008. And then personally, you bought one. Like, what's your favorite thing about it?
Well, it basically got canceled when GM went into bankruptcy, if you recall. That was late 08, early 2009. Pontiac Division went away, and with it, also Saturn, and with it, those two cars.
Yeah.
They may have been canceled anyway because they were not selling real well at the time. But it was an easy, when the government came in and told GM what vehicles and what plants and what brands to drop, it was an easy target. So no more small, affordable two-seater. And what was your second question? What was my favorite thing about it?
Yeah, because, I mean, you've got it. You've bought it. So what do you like about it?
Well, I think I just said it's the styling. I think it's a gorgeous-looking little car. I love the styling. I mean, when they unveiled it 2002 at the show, I went, oh, my God, where am I going to put it? Because right away, I wanted to have one. And at the time, I had a 67 Corvette, and I had a Riata, 91 Riata, which is kind of a cool car, too. And I said, where am I going to put this Solstice when I get one? But another quick story was I was working on a book on the Solstice for a publisher called Lamb Murata. By the way, I did a book on Fiero, the only two books on those two cars, I believe.
Cool.
And they did their long lead, or whatever, their journalist preview in, I think it was Portland, Oregon, but we went across the river into Washington State and drove some really good sports car roads. And I came back, I really fell in love with the way the car drove. And I came back, and I was working on the book at the time. And then a few weeks later, they delivered a press car to me to drive and test for a week for a review. And I was not home at the time. My wife, who's a sports car person, she got in that car and just backed it into the garage. And when I came home that day, she said, I want one. So she fell in love with it just that quick. And she said, let's sell the 67 Corvette. Well, you know, we don't care about that one. So that was probably not a good financial decision because we sold it for a lot less than we probably could have had we really held out. I mean, that car would be worth a hell of a lot more now than we got for it. But that's what we did. We got rid of the Corvette and bought a Solstice. And it's a, for what it's worth, it's what they call a captured fleet car, which is, when GM launches a new vehicle, they typically put the first 100 or so, it depends on the vehicle and how hard the build is, but the first several into company car usage with engineers and executives before they start shipping to dealers. And that way they can sort out and fix any issues they have with them at the plant before they start shipping them to dealers, because they got instant feedback from those GM people driving them as company cars. Then they sell those cars after someone has driven them for 3 months as their company car. They sell those cars at a very friendly price to retirees and employees.
Cool.
So that's what we got. We got a captured fleet Solstice that had about, I think it was 4,000 miles when we bought it.
Gary,
for a very friendly price.
We have flat run out of time, but it was a joy talking to you. Do you have any articles coming up people should watch for?
Well, I would just say if you go to my website, I put not everything I've ever written, but most of the decent stuff I've ever written for decades on a website called witsrights.com. And you can go in there and find Motor Trend and Haggerty and Playboy and Collectible Automobile and all that stuff.
Well, so, we will link to that, and we'd love to have you on to talk about the GM EV one sometime.
We can do that, gladly. There's a Haggerty story there, and I think I did a big story for Collectible Automobile on that some years ago, too.
Sounds
on the
cool.
whole program.
Gary, thanks for your time today.
All right, you're more than welcome. Pleasure talking to you.
You too, sir. That was Gary Witzenberg. We're going to take a break, and when we come back...
Quiz time.
Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
I'm Robert Colangelo, host of The Green Sense Show. Every week, we feature groundbreaking innovations from energy and agriculture to smart cities and sustainable transportation. We interview experts working to create a cleaner, greener future. One of my favorite segments is Green Automotive News with auto expert Tom Appel. We test drive and review the latest EVs, hybrids, and ultra-efficient cars. Visit greensenseshow.com or listen to The Green Sense Minute on 105.9 WBBM Chicago.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom. She is Jill. That was fun talking to Gary.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a fun fact for you.
Yeah.
His wife is also called Jill. Your wife is Jill. And I'm Jill.
A lot of Jills.
There's a lot of Jills. I never have seen so many Jills.
All three Jills would probably appreciate a two-seater in the garage, too.
Yes, they would.
But we're just poor auto journalists.
I know, right?
All right. You do social media stuff.
I do.
I keep slamming my hand on the table today. I got to stop that.
Yeah. Are you angry?
No.
Are you having some stress?
No. I might have more energy than I usually do. I can't explain that. But it is, again, it's beautiful outside.
It is a lovely day. But yes, I do social media. I'll keep it quick because you didn't mention your social media. And I'd like to keep it back to you.
Car Guy Tom.
Okay. So Car Guy Tom on Twitter at X. And then I'm Jill Simonello. And I use the hashtag Car Du Jour on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, Threads, Blue Sky, all the things.
Uh-huh. And Flomax.
Yeah. I think we came up with that last week, right?
Yes.
Isn't that like a nose spray?
No.
I don't know what Flomax is.
That's all right. Picture a commercial with four old guys and a Mustang and you get the idea.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to,
Don't worry about
moving along.
It's quiz time, Jill.
Okay.
Did you finish that?
Totally.
I wasn't paying attention.
Jill Simonello and Car Du Jour. Okay. That's the gist of that.
And you spell it with an S?
No. C.
A C. That's why I can never find you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. When I go through my contacts, where is Jill?
Yeah.
I can't find you. We're going to revisit your least favorite ever.
Awesome.
Quiz.
Awesome. Thank you.
This quiz is called 60 More Seconds.
Oh, God.
I'm going to give you 1 minute to answer certain questions.
All right.
Yeah.
So expect 0 out of 0 on this one.
No. Right. These are easy. I did have to create extensive lists just to make sure I cover everything. But basically, I'm going to give you something.
Okay.
And I need a certain number of examples of that something in 60 seconds.
Okay.
I'll just give you the first one. You can start working on it in your head. I need 8 Stellantis brands in 60 seconds.
Okay.
Which clock should I go by? I'll go by that clock. Ready?
All right.
Eight Stellantis brands in 60 seconds starting now.
First off, let me say that you suck.
Uh-huh.
So Fiat, Alfa Romeo.
Wait, Fiat, Alfa Romeo. I'm telling
Ram,
you to slow down, but you're you need to go.
Chrysler.
Uh-huh, that's 4.
Jeep.
That's 5.
I'm like, I feel like I got all the did I get all the American ones?
No.
Because Wagoneer's not its own brand.
Not officially. You have 30 seconds.
Yeah. I'm like Jeep, Ram, Chrysler, Fiat, Alfa Romeo, Maserati.
Maserati.
I think I already said Alfa Romeo.
You did. Oh, 15 seconds.
Yeah. Well, they were PSA, so do they have Peugeot?
There you go.
Do they have Citroën?
There you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You won.
Okay.
You got it. Yeah. You said Chrysler, Jeep, Ram. You forgot Dodge.
Oh, yes.
Fiat, Alfa, Maserati, Citroën, and Peugeot. You missed Dodge, Ram Commercial, DS, Lancia, Opel/Vauxhall,
mm-hmm.
probably would have qualified for 2, and Abarth. I always forget that Abarth is one.
Is Abarth its own? Because that was a Fiat.
It was, in the U.S., it was always used as sort of a step-up performance okay. trim level kind of thing. You got one. Nice
okay.
job.
Okay. All right. So I'm not going to have a goose egg.
No.
Woo.
All right.
Okay, I hate you already for whatever this question is, because you're laughing.
Well, only because this one gets a little wonky and you're not Eurocentric.
Okay.
I need 5 Volkswagen brands. So parent company Volkswagen.
Okay.
Volkswagen Group. I need 5 brands in 60 seconds. Go.
Okay, so obviously Volkswagen.
Good.
Audi.
Good.
Porsche.
Yes. Sort of, but yes.
Rolls Royce?
No, that's BMW.
Bentley?
Bentley. You've got 4 already. The first
Seat?
4. Did you say Seat?
Yeah.
You win.
Okay.
Yeah, so you said Volkswagen, Audi, Porsche, Bentley, Seat. Porsche, technically a separate company, but it's 75% owned by Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still the group. Bugatti, Rimac.
Mm.
Rimac, the Croatian electric supercar mm-hmm. maker, bought in. Lamborghini, Skoda, Ducati, Volkswagen Commercial, Scania, and MAN, which are big commercial trucks.
Okay.
And Cupra.
Oh, which may be coming to the United States.
Yeah, it was.
I've heard rumors.
That was like a performance version of Seat
mm-hmm.
that's going separate and going electric.
Okay.
I don't know why that name seems important to them, because it means nothing to Americans.
I think Cupras look really cool, though.
I need to look at them. I don't know if I know that.
They're very cool.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one is just sheer volume working against you here, but
okay.
you'll probably get this. I need 10 Toyota models in 60 seconds.
Models?
Models.
10 Toyota models.
Yeah.
Okay.
Starting, you know, whenever now.
All right. Camry.
Uh-huh.
Sienna.
Yes.
Tundra.
Tundra.
Tacoma.
Tacoma.
Corolla.
Corolla.
And are you also saying like Camry hybrid, Corolla
no.
hybrid?
No. Because then there would be like 700.
Compact car, midsize car. Crown. Crown
okay.
Signia.
I didn't do Crown and Crown Signia separate, but okay.
They are separate.
You have 30 seconds. And you need 4 more.
See, and I don't like it when you put in the commercial things. And it's just Toyota, not Lexus, right?
Yep.
There
are 18 Toyota models.
I'm going to call bullshit on that, because you're
no.
putting in stupid stuff.
No.
Every
one of them's a model. You have 5 seconds.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
You gave up all the trucks.
No, I didn't. I said Tundra and Tacoma.
Yeah, you did. Okay, so ready? You said Corolla, Camry, Crown, and Signia. I can give you both if you want. Tacoma, Tundra, and Sienna.
Oh, and then we've got Land Cruiser, 4Runner. Yeah.
Highlander, Grand Highlander, Corolla Cross, Supra, GR86, BZ4, mm. Prius, Prius Prime, Mirai, and Sequoia.
Okay, yeah.
There was no BS on this
okay.
list.
Okay, okay.
I'm just putting a little goose egg here. And I'm taking away a point for the profanity. All right, I need you to name in 1 minute one American Motors model.
General. AMC General?
No. Starting now. Starting now. One American Motors model.
Got it.
You're thinking of AM General, and I don't even remember the
But it's an AMC, right? Is American Motors Corporation.
AMC. Yeah. Well, AM General is a different thing. Actually, a defense contractor.
Oh, and I've... because they used to... They were like the precursor for Chrysler, weren't they?
Or no, but Chrysler absorbed them. Yes, Chrysler absorbed them.
Yeah, Prowler. I'm like trying to think of anything, but I got nothing. 300.
No. AMC.
No.
No, nothing?
No.
All right. Just one.
Nothing.
You have like five more seconds.
Like past vehicles, not my thing.
Oh, you didn't get it.
No.
Just got some numbers here from my youth. The Hornet, the Concorde, the Gremlin, the Spirit, the Ambassador, the Matador, the Rambler American. My dad owned one.
Okay.
Eagle and Eagle SX4, Alliance, and Encore. The last two technically Renaults.
Okay.
All right. So you have 2 points. You need 3 for the win. We should explain the rules. 5 questions total, plus the bonus question.
Right.
Bonus question always related to the topic of the day. You need to get 3 total to win. You'll probably get this one. In 60 seconds, I need 5 Kia models starting now.
All right. Current, I'm guessing. So K4, K5.
Uh-huh.
What's the minivan?
I got one coming tomorrow. Carnival, yep.
Sorento and...
You need one more.
What is it? The EV9.
There you go.
Woo.
All right, nice job. Unbelievable how many models they have, too. You didn't say Forte, EV6, Seltos, Soul, Sportage, Telluride, or Niro.
Forte doesn't exist anymore. That's the K4.
Why do I have Forte here? You're right, it doesn't. Crossing that out, you can...
I think I get a bonus point.
I don't think you get a full bonus point. You need a half point.
I get a point back for my profanity then.
I'm interested that Nero's still on the list.
Yeah, no, they're still selling Niro.
Yeah.
Hybrid, EV.
Yeah, in some places. I think you'd have a hard time finding one in Illinois.
Oh, I see them on the road like every day.
We are running out of time today.
Okay.
But I have one last question, the bonus question. Are you ready?
Okay.
This is completely up your alley. I need you to tell me which of the following was not a 70s Saturday morning kid show.
Oh, God.
Are you ready?
Totally up my alley.
Yep.
Okay.
You remember when we had Bill Leff on the show?
Yes. I don't think I was here. But...
Oh, okay. We talked Bill Leff.
Yes.
Yep. Chicago DJ, comedian.
Yes.
Yep. All right. I'm going to give you 4 shows. One of them is not a Saturday morning show. Are you ready?
Okay.
Sigmund the Sea Monster.
Okay.
Johnny Quest.
Okay.
Arc 2. Searching for Mr. Goodbar.
I would say either the first one or the last one. You guys are laughing at me.
Not at you.
Yeah, you are.
My stupid list.
Okay. Read them again.
Sigmund the Sea Monster.
Okay.
Johnny Quest.
Uh-huh.
Arc 2.
Uh-huh.
Searching for Mr. Goodbar.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the first one or the last one.
Sigmund or Searching?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Searching for Searching, Mr. Goodbar.
Yes, that was not a Saturday morning show.
What was it?
It was a very controversial movie starring Barbara Hershey that I probably need to watch because it's starring Barbara Hershey.
Okay.
But it was about a woman checking out guys at bars, basically. But it had a very strong R rating.
Okay.
Not a kid's show. Very nice job. You won. You called out my Forte era, so you have 3.5 points.
All right.
All right.
I feel like I have 4.5 points.
Do you?
Yes, because I got the...
You got Volkswagen and Stellantis. You did not get
Toyota. I got
Toyota.
Kia. So 3, and then I got the bonus.
Oh, yeah. 4.5. All right.
Trying to
All right. Here
sneak
you go.
One over on me.
I'll sign this for you. You're just going to toss it out on the way out. No one collects these.
I'm going to take pictures of your signature and put it out on the internet. That's what I'm going to do.
All right. We are flat out of time.
Okay. So we'll have to talk about Ford Bronco and Bronco Sport next week.
We didn't do that.
We did not do that.
We'll have to double up. Yeah. We'll have to get to those. All right. That's my bad. All right. Thank you to Gary Witzenberg for joining us today. Thank you to producer Randy and the good folks here at Talk Zone. Thank you, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Next week.
remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.